You're listening to Rebel Spirituality with me, Sam Goldfinch. Here's the truth. Wisdom doesn't follow rules. So each week we're going to explore what it means to wake up your way so you can live a more peaceful, creative and inspired life no matter your circumstances. It's time to blaze your unique path to truth.
Whatever would happen that was not healthy or uncomfortable, I would always spin something positive on it. So I actually ended up using my mind as a very strong coping mechanism. And I ended up even, you know, relationship-wise, going in the direction of open relationships. Because I was using spiritual justification for that in the sense that I said that, you know, my happiness does not depend on anybody else and their happiness, you know, shouldn't depend on me. So what my partner does at the time, like, it shouldn't affect me at all and vice versa. I mean, and I even ended up teaching this to other men. In retrospect, I understood that I was, you know, that I had a massive blind spot and that I was kind of bypassing a lot spiritually.
Hey, dear friends. Okay, I have another spiritual rebel here for an interview this week. And it's my good friend, Alexander. And I've got so much love for this man. He's such a wonderful soul. So I'm just delighted to be able to put this conversation out into the world. And so all the videos and everything that are here are being uploaded to YouTube bit by bit. And I'd love your support over there. Just to come and hit subscribe for me would be just hugely powerful for me to get the word out, get the message out. I'm spending more and more time on this project because it's my soul project. This is so important to me. So yeah, if you have the time today to come and hit subscribe on YouTube, I would very much appreciate that. All right, team, without further ado, I'll hand you over to me and Alexander. See you there. Hey, Rebel friends. I'm really excited about this. I've got my good friend Alexander here with me. Hey, man, so good to see you.
Good to be here and thank you for having me on.
Oh man, you're so welcome. Dude, I've wanted to have you on since the creation of this pretty much. I think we met, I'm not sure how, I think I would have created this and then we maybe met shortly afterwards. I can't quite remember the timeline, but we were introduced by our good friend Jamie, who has also been on the podcast. And yeah, it wasn't long within one conversation and hanging out, and I've been to one of your amazing retreats, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but we just realized how aligned we are. And yeah, dude, you just felt like a brother instantly. Within like 10 seconds, I was like, oh, this is amazing. This is going to be a really powerful relationship. I can feel that in my heart. So yeah, I can't think of anyone better to have on the show. And yeah, awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for the kind words. Yeah, I feel the same way.
Awesome, man. So hey, before we kind of jump into these questions, what would you love to share about you? Would you like anyone to know anything about what you're up to, or, you know, what brings you to this point in your kind of spiritual journey and that kind of stuff? Share whatever makes sense.
Well, here my past has been, it's been a very non-linear journey. how I kind of got on the spiritual journey, it actually started with a heartbreak almost 20 years ago in 2006, 2007. I was really in love with this girl and, you know, she broke up and, you know, she was with somebody else. And I kind of, like, I entered a depression back then, like it was one of the most painful moments in my life. But then somebody gave me the book, you probably know it, Eckhart Tolle's Power of Now.
Very funny. That was such a big book for me in my journey as well, man. Yeah, awesome.
I think for many people. And I read that, and kind of halfway through, at that point, I got it. I mean, for like two, three days, like in the middle of this depression, I was like in a state of bliss. And this was in Brussels during the winter. I was living alone. It can be quite a depressing city, you know, a very great country. I'd be sitting on the bus from the metro, and everybody kind of has this super fit, sad face on them. You know, if you've been in, you know, the underground in Brussels, you'll understand what I mean when it's bad weather. But I was just feeling so amazing despite everything, you know, around me and, you know, what had just happened. And but then I kind of lost it in the sense that, like, I tried very hard to, like, hold on to something. But holding on is really, you know, it's kind of, you know, living in the past again, right? And so I thought, okay, I need to go back and read the book. I was attaching being present with having to do something first. But of course, you're always putting it in the future then. And, you know, that kind of stayed in that for a while. And And then, I mean, it's been a huge journey since then. I can share a bit more if you like. Or...
No, dude, that's awesome, man. We're going to have plenty of time to dive into that as we go through and go into the questions and that kind of thing. And I know, so we're going to, towards the end as well, we'll have some time for you to share what you're up to and the retreats that you're running and stuff like that for anyone who's interested. But yeah, no, that, I mean, dude, it's so funny you share that to me because I had a very similar experience when I was 18. I read The Power Now, and it was the moment, the jolt of like, oh, wow. And then I read that book. I mean, I got one of the pause symbols from the book tattooed on my arm. I read
Wow.
that book maybe 20 or 30 times, doing the exact same thing, chasing that, thinking it's in the book, it's in the book, kind of attributing that experience to Eckhart and the book, not realizing that it was coming from somewhere else, not realizing it was coming from me and who I really am. And so it's so wonderful to hear you express that in your language, because I often talk about it in a different way, but we had such a similar experience and then process of basically pushing any kind of waking up into the future and then doing it again and then saying it's not now, I need to read the book again or whatever, right? So I love that. I love that. Well, that's dude, I think that's a great opening for me to ask you a question then, if you're up for that. What does the word, as you sit here today with me, what does the word spirituality mean to you?
To me, it means connecting to love, to beauty, to truth in the simple, mundane little things. It's not seeking it or believing that spirituality is just to be found in, for example, certain books or following certain gurus or retreats and all of that. And because that can become a rabbit hole, but it's to realize that like it's truly connecting from a place of presence with what is around us and finding connecting with the love in that. So to me, it's about, and we've both experienced glimpses of some of the highest levels of consciousness, but it's about bringing that as much as possible into everyday life. And from there to operate from a place of connection, from love, and create. Like, I'm a big believer when we're connected to that, we are in our power, and that's when we create and we share and we contribute to the world. So a result of that is being in service to others. To me, something that I thought about recently was it's I believe it's seeing the beauty in imperfection as opposed to trying to find perfection or chase perfection.
Yeah, that's really, it's funny, right? Because I think the human world, the seemingly real world that we can see all around us of things and people and where people suffer and people, there's all these difficult things and experiences that we're having. It's very personal and it hits us in our heart, and we look around us and seemingly, we're like, God, there's so many things in the world that are imperfect. And then we look at the level, the highest level, we come from the level of, the Godhead, and everything's perfect. We look at the sacred geometry and it's so clear to us, and it's kind of like, it seems as if a lot of, for many people, and I think this is, it's completely innocent, and I think I used to think a lot like this as well. It's like, I just need to hang out in that space all the time. But actually, that's not what it's about. That's not why we're here. The divine doesn't make mistakes, and we're here this round to experience it all and to see the perfection in all of it, to see the perfection in imperfection, to be calm in the chaos, and to be, I don't know. So I love that you share that, man. And I don't know if you'd say a little bit more about when you said, to find the kind of beauty in the simple things. Is that something that you're experiencing more and more as you start to fall more and more into this kind of the richness of the imperfection, if you like, if that is that happening?
Absolutely. Like when I'm more connected to my body, my heart, as opposed to the mind, that then you're also really present with what is in front of you. And I find, yeah, then I can, if I'm, with my kids or with my wife or even just with myself in nature and then really connect, it's that to me is, sorry about that.
No, it's okay.
That is, yeah, that there's, that's when I also feel most alive. when I'm not in the space of, okay, I need to, I should, I must, or thinking about being somewhere else or needing to do something else when I'm doing something else. But to me, like what you shared also about all of these happening outside of us, to me, one of the big realizations came when I decided I was, I would accept what is happening around me and not trying to change it all. Really realizing that we cannot change anything externally, right? And the moment that I let go of that idea of, changing the world or even changing, something in my wife that I didn't like or that would trigger me or something else. Like, the moment that I let go of that is the moment that, that I can connect truly to love.
Oh, I love that so much, man. I mean, it's true surrender, and it's the thing that the part of us that wants to control and change, it will never really fully see this. You know, this consciously being consciously content no matter what's going on, you know, kind of hanging out in that space, it works in reverse to almost everything that we've been taught the whole way through our life. But it's the heart of all tradition, of all spiritual tradition at its core, right? Yeah, I love that, man. I love that so much. And for me, I often say that when we're chasing peak experiences, we miss the one peak experience, which is whatever it is that's happening right now. Like, this is your life, you know, like, everyone, look around. This is your life, not what vision you have of what happened 5 minutes ago or what's going to happen tomorrow. That is not your life. That's a thought generated. It's a wonderful faculty that we have. It's a beautiful thing we can use, but that's not your life. Your life is right here, right now. You know, that's the power of that is the true power of now that Eckhart talks about, right? Is that it's not a nice idea. It's all we have. It's the truth. So yeah, I love it, dude. Well,
One thing that I
yeah.
add to that is that I definitely wanna also discern between, and I think I know you'll completely agree with this, but is to not see everything in love and light either, right? To understand that yes, at the highest levels, it's all perfect and it's all divine, but that in the realm of consciousness that we're operating, there is darkness. There is both dark and light because we live in duality, and it's not about looking at darkness and saying it is love and light, but about shining the light on the darkness. So, and to me, the way that I integrate that in my everyday life is I try to accept everything around me that I cannot change, but it doesn't mean that I need to tolerate everything, right?
Got it. Oh, yeah, it's a good point, well made. And I think it is very easy to kind of weaponize, and I've done this to myself, to weaponize spiritual principles against ourselves, to say, well, if it's all kind of being created from within, and if, you know, and if all my feelings are safe, then well, I should stay in this shitty situation for ages. It's not about that, right? It doesn't mean we can't be practical and be humans. If anything, it actually this way of looking at it increases our ability to be able to set boundaries or see the truth in
Exactly.
what you're saying. And yeah, man, I mean, the one thing I've been taught in particular by certain plant medicines, I think very, very deeply, is the sacredness in suffering and how it's not a mistake. You know, it's how it is. So darkness, as you say, absolutely, it's not like a good bad thing. It's not to place a judgment on it, but it's to honor it, and it's to not try and turn it into something that it isn't, if you like. We don't have to kind of be all positive thinking about everything all the time, that kind of stuff. Is that, I don't know, does that speak to some of what you're saying, or is it something different?
Absolutely. It's all about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, I had an experience one time where I realized that true love, the totality of everything, is not the absence of the darkness. It's not the absence of pain. It's the totality. It's the summation of all things. It's everything included together, the light and the dark, and beyond that, and the concepts of that, the potentiality of all of it. That's the is love. But in the world of duality, as you say, like, we're not supposed to be experiencing that all the time. We're doing heavy lifting for the soul, as Ram Dass would say. You know, we're here to do some work, right? Yeah.
What you say sounds very similar to like a realization that I also had. It was also on plant medicine, and it was that light and dark aren't really opposites,
Yeah.
but the darkness is really just the absence of light, right? And yeah, that also helps to like you say, to not look at things as good or bad, I mean, I do think it's useful to look at things, okay, like, that this is maybe not healthy or useful and all of that, but without placing a judgment on it.
Yeah, it's I often talk because I think the judgment is often where we kind of innocently suffer when we lay judgment on stuff, you know. It's yes, things can be uncomfortable, not bad. Things can be difficult, that's not bad. You know, there's everything is rich and beautiful in its own way, even if it's difficult and uncomfortable as well. Well, yeah, dude, I love that. I love that so much. Actually, when I was on retreat with you, you said you shared something and it really stuck with me. You know, you said about how, yeah, exactly what you just said, that, you know, light plus darkness isn't darkness, right? It's light. It's just this equation of like, that's not a neutral equation. It's incredibly powerful to put those things, to see that and the impact it can have on our life. Well, I think you might have shared a bit about this, man, but the next question I was going to ask you was, when did you begin to wake up to the fact that there's something more going on than you thought there was? Now, it may be that moment that you shared, but I don't know if you sit in this moment, if any other point in your life or anything where you just, yeah, I don't know. What's your answer to that question?
Absolutely. So when I read Eckhart Tolle the first time, that definitely was a point, but like I said, it only lasted for like a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then my path, like, was very non-linear. And I was actually I was very much like I said, I wanted to hold on and cling onto the good, and I didn't want to connect to the bad anymore. So at one point I made the decision with my mind to, I'm like, I don't want to feel certain things ever anymore. Like, I don't want to feel jealousy, because I don't want to feel pain from a heartbreak anymore. And even anger and sadness, like I don't want to feel those things. So I went on a long journey, did a lot of workshops, had a lot of mentors, went to the States many times to work with really in smart, intelligent people. And I became very good at reframing things, but whatever would happen that was not healthy or uncomfortable, I would always spin something positive on it. So I actually ended up using my mind as a very strong coping mechanism, and I ended up even, relationship-wise, going in the direction of open relationships, because I was using spiritual justification for that, in the sense that I said that, my happiness does not depend on anybody else, and their happiness, shouldn't depend on me. So what my partner does at the time, like, it shouldn't affect me at all, and vice versa. I mean, and I even ended up teaching this to other men. In retrospect, I understood that I was, that I had a massive blind spot, and that I was kind of bypassing a lot spiritually. But yeah, so probably a big second point in my evolution was that this way of thinking, like, it was very strong mentally, but it created strong friction with my wife also. And we, at one point, we were at the verge of separating even. And but then when we were so close to separating, we got back together, and we actually did some plant medicine together. And it started with truffles, and then a little later did ayahuasca. She flew to Peru for that the first time, and she'd actually done it earlier, even though, like, I knew about ayahuasca before it became popular, like 20 years ago or so. But I knew always back then, like, my relationship with ayahuasca had already started, in the sense that I knew I would do it someday, but I didn't want to do it back then, because I knew it would, back then I was very much in, focusing on my business, and focusing on my physique, my health, focusing on women, like all those things. And I was like, it might change my life completely.
Yeah, you were like, oh shit.
Yeah, so I'm like, I as far as I was aware, I was doing really good, and I was feeling really good, and I was growing in the arenas that I was focused on, but something deeper was missing. And so yeah, it was my first contact with ayahuasca that changed a lot of that. Even though, like, my kind of my bigger breakthrough into, like, waking up more, like, I mean, I believe awakening is a lifelong journey, and there are certain points that kind of accelerate it, but I don't believe somebody is ever fully enlightened, fully awake, or we not even be attached to our bodies anymore. But that's another discussion. But because my first couple of ayahuasca sessions, they were actually very, very difficult, very uncomfortable. Like I did 8 ceremonies in Peru in, you know, in the span of 2-3 weeks. Not a single ceremony that ended pleasantly.
That can happen. Yeah.
And all these other people are like, oh, my heart, and I feel so good. And I was like, oh, when is something like that going to happen to me? Mm. I also believe for a big extent, if you've done a lot of work on yourself, and you know that you can, many times with psychedelics, you don't have the easiest ceremonies.
True. Yeah. It's often the case, I think, that the more work we do, the more it can become challenging. Not that there aren't incredible moments of beauty and love, but it can also become more and more challenging as the medicines are like, okay, you asked for it, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, despite me, like, during and shortly after ceremonies, not feeling too great, I did realize a couple of days afterwards, and especially the weeks afterwards, I felt very connected. I felt inspired again, and I felt much lighter. Yeah. Like, I didn't realize at the time that, you know, I actually got rid of old baggage and even things stuck in my body.
Yeah.
And so me being me, I'm like, okay, I'm going to go deeper. And I booked myself a solo trip with a shaman, like I think a month or a month and a half after that first trip. So I'm like, you know, but then it got progressively even darker.
Yeah.
And it was, I even had some ceremonies that I would say were traumatizing, and I don't use that lightly. I mean, the shaman himself started praying in Spanish, you know, Christian prayers and stuff. And I was like, oh my God, this is bad. So, and I cut my trip short, and returned back to Belgium because I thought I would not be able to connect and be present anymore. Like my fear was that I would be not able to feel certain emotions anymore. It didn't happen, but still, like I asked myself at the time, okay, why did I do this? And there was no real support at the time. Nobody could really help me. But it was actually 6 months afterwards where I got a big breakthrough. Mm-hmm. And it was actually with Wachuma. Mm-hmm. And to me, I had a ceremony. And it felt like the missing piece of the puzzle in my huge process journey at the time. And I understood that, you know, I also connected with darkness at the beginning of the ceremony, but I was able to shine light on it and understand that it's all part of us.
Yeah.
Right. And that I am not just all these wonderful, beautiful things, but also like everything else, that we can be everything. And
that's beautiful, man. You know, that grandfather spirit of Wachuma. For anyone who's listening who doesn't know, so a psychedelic cactus, which with a really beautiful spirit of grounding. That's cool. Just, I'd love you to finish your thought, but I think it's an important thing to just say. This is one of the deep reasons why, if anyone's ever going to go to retreat or, you know, to go for any kind of ceremony, we need to be sure about the integration that's offered, and also just even understanding, you know, the intention setting beforehand, and the how we set the intention and where it's coming from, and you know, that kind of stuff. These medicines, they will very often give us what we ask for, but it won't come in the form that we'd think it would come in. In fact, I'd argue it never comes in the form we think it's going to come in. You know, it can come in some pretty different ways. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people, it's true, like we have to honor this, because I think some people do have experiences where they feel worse before they feel better and things like, there's no point. I know we're both very passionate about just being very authentic and sharing the truth when it comes to both the power and the magic of these medicines, and also the things we need to be aware of if we're called to the journey, right? So I really honor you sharing that, so thank you. So is there anything else in terms of it being this experience of showing you that there was more? Is there anything else you'd like to share?
Yeah, first of all, I want to continue on what you just said. I believe that is so important, and it's something that is so overlooked when doing plant medicine. Many times it's just okay, like go through ceremony and blah, for a lot, like, you know, you will understand, you'll have some realizations, but no, the real work starts afterwards. But that is really what you just said, the importance of integration is one of the reasons why I became so passionate about kind of guiding and facilitating people in this myself. Because if I knew that I had my current self, with my current understanding back then in ceremony, I would have gone through it. I would have understood things. It was only a couple of words at the time that I probably would have needed to understand. But, back then, in the darkness that I experienced, there was a lot of resistance and there was fighting. And of course, the more you resist, the more that something persists, right? And so many things I didn't understand. But yeah, then going back to Wachuma kind of, it was the missing piece of the puzzle. And the moment that I understood on a deeper level what it was all about, it's like so much like bloomed up inside of me, and it was probably one of the most powerful experiences in my life. I felt connected with everything, state of oneness, very strong love. And you also mentioned, Wachuma being grounded, and during and immediately afterwards, I understood that, okay, I want to continue this work, not just with plant medicine, but also coaching people and, doing the stuff that I was kind of doing before, but that I'd kind of given up on. Not given up on, but like it was on pause because I wasn't doing it from a place of love anymore. It was more, okay, should, I have to do it, and I'm doing things because of a commitment. But after that, once I was able to connect to my own love, and I was also able to connect to the love for who I'm doing things for, and after that, I was just in my power and creating.
Nice.
And this is what I'm seeing in you too. Like, this whole while that I've seen you is just putting out all the stuff that is created from the heart. And I think ultimately that is what we're here for.
Oh,
And
I love
yeah,
that.
I think.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. It's funny because it fills me with so much joy to see the authenticity that you're coming with, and our journeys are so similar, bro. I literally couldn't tell. My late 20s, I had this massive, almost spiritual chip on my shoulder. I was bypassing stuff left, right, and center. I was like, yeah, I'm the most spiritual guy in the room, and I was cracking under the pressure of that, trying never to feel certain things. And I think there's a huge amount of that. One of the dangers of that being in the plant medicine world is that there is no chip on your shoulder when it comes to this stuff. Like, they will floor you. If you go in with enough of that, they will kick your ass, right? And it's for the greater good, but that can be really
Absolutely.
difficult. So I think it's very important we have these conversations, right? Because as these wonderful things, not just in plant medicine world, but just as the deepening understanding of spirituality comes in, I think releasing the misunderstandings is as important as anything. And there's a I think it was Trungpa Rinpoche, she basically said the path to awakening or the path to enlightenment is the path of disappointment, because the part of you that's like, oh God, I'm just going to be Zen all the time and I'm just going to feel this, that has to die, it has to go, right? And then you have to realize, oh no, it's all, I'm supposed to feel it all. In one way we get our wish because everything becomes beautiful, everything becomes rich, everything becomes okay. But the part of us that was looking for that, like, Hollywood enlightenment, if you like, or something like that, it ain't like that, right? So I love your authenticity, man. It's very important to me to get people on that are sharing from that space. And yeah, I honor it. It takes courage as well to come and share from this space, I think, because I think for to honor that and speak from the heart and share about bypassing and that kind of stuff, there's a lot of people feeling that way that perhaps feel like they can't speak their truth around it because of how it will be perceived or something like that. So yeah, it's important.
You said there, because indeed, like going through certain very spiritual experiences, reaching certain very high levels of consciousness, and being connected to our power and our love in those moments, that it can start creating a new ego identity,
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And I learned that very, very quickly afterwards, with also during plant medicine, and it felt like a big slap in the face. And I felt as I would. Even before the ceremony started, I was like, should I do this? Like, I actually feel pretty awesome. Everything's going great in my life. Like, why am I doing this? And I went in there and I started, feeling all these uncomfortable feelings. And And I started being disconnected from this part. And I'm like, no. Like, trying to hold on to it. I'm like, oh, why did I decide to do this ceremony? And yes, so I kind of received like a metaphorical slap in the face to say, like, no, you're not all of that either, right? It's kind of a paradox, I find. Like on one hand, like, we are everything, but we are also nothing.
Yeah, well, this is the world of this is the dualism of it, right? It's like in this
Right.
form, like there is the world of form, this illusion, that's all around us that's very tangible and touchable, and then there's the spiritual world, which is not tangible, but more real than this world that we're in, and it's informing it, right? And it's, but we're, for all of the time that we're in this world of form, we're in dualism, right? There is this kind of paradox, and wherever we're coming at it from, wherever whatever perspective we're looking at it from, there will be things that are true, depending on what level you're looking at it from. But they all stand as true, depending on where you're standing.
I think that's a very good point. Yeah, depending on what level, because that I find a thing also. I mean, there's so many different layers of consciousness, right?
Infinite, right?
And sometimes, I mean, yeah, plant medicine can take us to difficult parts, but also sometimes it can take us straight to those most beautiful, blissful levels. And there's so much to learn there, and so much that we can bring back. But in my experience and opinion, a lot of the work also needs to happen in those in between layers. Where we get into contact with things that matter to us in everyday life, right? I find like forgiveness a great example of this. Like at the highest levels, we understand that there's nothing really to forgive, right? People always acting according to the level of consciousness that they're at, so how can they be judged? But it's to embody that level of enlightenment in everyday life, it is not very realistic. There are things that we'll still feel in our body, triggered, by other people, and that there are relationships or things that have happened that, at this level of consciousness, we have not fully let go of and not forgiven. So that's why, in those other layers, it's important to go there too, I find. I'm always very happy when I see people. I'll give ayahuasca as an example, but when they're really puking a lot or purging a lot, because I know, okay, they're letting go of a lot of stuff, right? If you're just immediately like, Zen Buddha and all of that, yeah, great. But to me, if one consistently only goes to those places and wants to take plant medicine to go there, it's also a sign that it's becoming an escape from the here and the now.
Yeah, that's a very interesting point. I recorded a podcast a little while ago saying, honor where you are, because I think if we, it's all well and good to be like, oh, like there's no such thing as victim mentality or forgiveness ultimately, like we say. But if you're feeling non-forgiveness or if you're feeling like a victim, own it, because you got to feel it to heal it. You got to move through to the other side, and if you don't, you're going to bypass it. And these ideas of like, oh, I've been on the spiritual path for 25 years, I can't be pissed off at this person for that. It's like, yeah, but there's a part of you that is. What do you want to do with that? And I think that's very important, actually. It's this journey is not what we think it is, and it's very often not what we innocently make it out to be after one read of The Power of Now, right? It's like there's more to it. So, well, look, this seems like a cool place for us to kind of ask another question, which was, what is something that you've really deeply realized as true that you would love anyone listening to this podcast to know, really know for themselves as well, not intellectually, but for it to really drop for them?
So many things, but maybe just kind of like continuing on from what we just talked about, I think that being alive that really is to feel everything and to honor that and to respect that and to be okay with that, even when we're experiencing heartbreak, to look at that with curiosity, with gratitude, and really feel it fully. Like the deeper that we go on the journey, I believe that the more pain or darkness that we can feel, the more opportunity for light that there is. To me, a big realization was that, we don't have to try and be something else or search elsewhere, but we just have to be all that we are. And Yeah, that to me perhaps is the biggest truth to be all that we are.
I love that so much, man. The kind of beautiful irony or the paradox I find, if you like, is that when we do become all that we are, when we surrender to all of it, to the grief and the pain and the love and all of it, we often find that there's real depth and rich and beauty in it. It's that, like we say, that there are no mistakes. It can really feel like there are, but and it's sort of like, for all of the time that we're innocently resisting it and not surrendering and not allowing ourselves to be all that we are, we're not actually feeling what it's like to be in the middle of the darkness. We're actually feeling our resistance to the darkness, which is a very different thing. And I think a lot that's actually worse a lot of the time, in the sense that, yeah, I don't know, there's just something that's like, no, come on, it's time, push it. This is why you're here. And it's innocent, right? We're pushing back against it because we don't know it's safe to experience it, right? So yeah, I just love that, man. I think that's really, yeah, it's a really wonderful thing to come up. And I know for both of us that we're both seemingly talking about this in a very, very different way to how we were 10 years ago, which is very, which is just, it's cool. It's really nice to meet people like you, man. I really appreciate it. And I think sometimes we can really sense when people are kind of, and it's just so innocent. You know, if I were to meet myself from me of 10 years ago, if I met myself now, I think I'd probably be really annoyed at myself because loads of my conditioning would come up and I'd be like, who's this guy?
Same.
Yeah, man.
But ultimately, what you said, yeah, it's ego really trying to protect itself, right? But it's yeah.
Yeah,
I
that's it.
find if we're not allowing us to experience everything, we're also in a way denying creation, right? Or however we want to call it, God or universal consciousness, wants us to experience the whole thing, right? I believe. And to say that, okay, I'm not going to go there is denying where we're at in the here and now. And but it's still sometimes a difficult one, especially when something very uncomfortable
Oh, dude, yeah, for sure.
comes
It's
up,
not,
right?
it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, it's super simple in the sense of like, yeah, don't resist anything, surrender to all things and trust. It's still simple to say. It doesn't mean it's always an easy thing to do, right? Yeah. Is there anything else you'd love to? I know we're going to have some time, so I'm getting blinded by the light here. I think
I can
the
see.
universal consciousness is, I thought I was going to get away with it and just have a cloudy day, but it's come out to shine
Looks
its
quite
light on us.
cool.
Do you have anything? So I would love to hear, I'd love for you to be able to share some stuff about what you're up to and the retreats and stuff like that. And if there's anything else that you feel like, you still want to share or anything, then go for it, man. But yeah, tell us all that stuff.
What we just said, I believe it's very important to go to those uncomfortable places because that's ultimately the whole cliche, growth happens out of your comfort zone. It is so true, right? And it's kind of funny because in the past, I was also quite active in fitness industry, and people think, yeah, like a heavy weight, it's uncomfortable. And of course, yeah, it is, it's so true, but try coming into contact with the darkest places of your mind, and that's real discomfort. So,
Yeah, no.
but that's also where our biggest personal growth happens. And so, to me, it's now just really my passion to guide people in their journey to that. For now, mostly with plant medicine, even though I'm doing a lot of work with other modalities and breath work, and I'm in a phase where I'm trying all these different types because ultimately I believe that, that we don't really need anything external. But because, especially in the West, we have so many different ego identities and layers and traumas, wounds kind of like built around our core of who we really are. Even, simple things like meditation, most people don't even know how to do it. Even I find it still difficult sometimes. To kind of like get to the source. And that's where I find, plant medicine helps a lot to kind of peel off those original layers. So I feel like the next couple of months, years, perhaps, like, you know, that will be my focus, because I see there's a lot of it's just so powerful. But ultimately, yeah, I want to try and I want to create something where, you know, if, because plant medicine might not.
I don't know what happened there. Go on, keep going.
Okay, good. I'm going to kind of create something where people, you know, can do other modalities too, and it will ultimately help them connect to who they are and to master their self, master their energy. So that's also like a very big thing that I've been focusing on now is to really connect with. Yeah, I believe, especially for men, it's our highest leverage point to master our energy, our sexual energy, our kundalini, however we want to call it. So yes, that's also a big study for me that, yeah, that I also want to share with more people.
I love that, dude. Yeah, that's really, really cool. It reminds me of Ram Dass, who used to say, you know, you bring a psychedelic or plant medicine into your system, it's kind of like it's a helicopter ride to the top of the mountain. Right. But then at some point you realize, oh, I'm going to put my backpack on and get hiking. And it's kind of like the interplay between these two is that very often someone who's been trying to like hike up the mountain, just that having that an experience where everything dissolves and they see something very, very different under the influence of medicine, it can really change the journey. And the other way around as well, for someone who's just constantly been hammering psychedelics and not been integrating and hasn't been assimilating what they've been learning and has been using it as an escape. So it's this balance between the two. So I love that you've come to it in that way. And I think it's much needed, man. Well, how do people, is there a way people can reach out to you or find you or something like that? What's the best way?
Say Facebook or email, like for now, like my wife and myself, we organize like several retreats around Europe where we actually fly over or we work with people who fly over, indigenous shamans from the Amazon.
Awesome.
Because that to me is also something quite, because it's such sacred and deep work.
Mm-hmm.
Like I find like it's, and it's so powerful. Mm-hmm. But there's, you know, it's energy work at the deepest level. I feel it has to be done, you know, the ways that it's been done for tens, maybe hundreds of generations over there. And so even with that, we go to the source, we bring those people here. Because, yeah, I believe in ceremony. Things are always, you know, when somebody's having a pleasant journey, ceremony, it's all well and good. But, you know, have something very dark happen and, you know, you want certain support there and people
yeah.
who can hold the space for that.
It's very, very important, man. It's so important to be able to really trust where you're going and to be able to talk to those people beforehand and ask all of the questions you have. And you should be answered. You should ask questions, right? You want to know what's the ratio of people there that are going to that help. Like what is the integration? What is, you know, what is the kind of thoughts in and around intentions beforehand? Where are these shamans from? What's the lineage? You know, all this, these are the things that, to just go into these things blindly is, it's so innocent if somebody doesn't know, but it's important. It's important. And, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I can't think of anywhere that I would rather go on retreat, and I can't think of anyone who I would trust more in that space, bro. So, it's,
thank
you for what you do, man.
Thank you for what you do.
And I can't wait to hang out soon again, huh?
Me too. Really looking forward to it.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, brother. It's been so good to have you on here. And I love that we kind of went a bit here, there, everywhere. And this is one of the first times that I've really had a sort of a more in-depth discussion in and around plant medicine and stuff on here as well, because this is, because often it's just me kind of riffing on spiritual concepts and stuff. So to have this dialogue is really cool. So if anyone's listening in and it's been something you've been really interested in, yeah, let me know. And I have no doubt that we'll do this again, man. It'd be really cool to explore some different aspects of what we've looked at today. Good to see you,
awesome.
Bro.
Thank you so much, John.